Good morning, and welcome everyone to Crédito Real's second quarter 2021 earnings conference call. Crédito Real issued its quarterly report on Wednesday, July 28th, 2021. If you did not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to contact us in Mexico City at +52 55 52 28 97 53. It is important to note that the presentation and MP3 recordings referred to this call will be available at www.creal.mx. Before we begin the call today, I would like to remind you that the information discussed in today's call may include forward-looking statements on Crédito Real's future financial performances and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to rely unduly on these forward-looking statements. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statement. With us this morning from Crédito Real, we have Mr. Carlos Ochoa, CEO, and Ms. Renata González, IRO. They will discuss on more important strategic, financial, and operating aspects of the second quarter 2021. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Ochoa.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. During our last call, my first quarterly call as CEO of the company, I conveyed two principal commitments. Firstly, that we would consolidate operating and financial stability in the core elements of our business. Secondly, that we would continue taking firm steps to proactively manage risk, particularly in the non-fundamental aspects of our business. We stated that these measures, coupled with improved macroeconomic prospects, will allow us to preserve our asset quality in the short term and to capitalize on the surging demand in the medium term. I am pleased to report that over the last quarter, our key indicators reflect that effort, resulting in a healthier and a stronger position for Crédito Real. We are not yet where we want to be. More needs to be done, that's for sure. All the relevant indicators point towards evolution in the right direction. Net income soared sequentially and annually to reach almost 200 million pesos, a major improvement compared to first Q 2021, when net income totaled 89 million pesos. Year-on-year, this figure represents almost 50% growth in terms of profitability. Coupled with the system-wide recovery, this is thanks to our decision to refocus our capitalization on more resilient portfolios and better risk-adjusted returns. Despite the initial industry-wide shock, we've been able to make great progress in reassuring our investor base. The renewed vote of confidence to our differentiated strategy with a much clearer focus on payroll loans and a renewed emphasis on transparency is showing across the board, from bond to stock prices. It is a clear sign that we need to continue to deepen these efforts. In addition, I'd like to highlight some figures that show the strength in our financial position. During the last quarter, we renewed credit facilities valued at over 5 billion pesos. Our refinancing capabilities, coupled with over $150 million in cash, provides us with a strong footing to continue capitalizing on the incremental demand for loans, as well as to meet prevailing and emerging challenges. It is important to emphasize that, as we committed to since the last quarter, we have not acquired new debt. In fact, our indebtedness lowered to a factor of 3.2x, coming from a factor of 3.3x in the first Q 2021, and well below our safety threshold of 3.5x. Another positive indicator is our collection level. This quarter, collections have reached pre-pandemic levels well above the 8 billion pesos mark, a record high collection for pandemic times. In this line, higher collections have enabled the NPL ratio to decrease slightly to 3.8% in second Q 2021 from the 3.9% in first Q 2021. Going forward, our board has recently approved the sale of a portion of the SME's portfolio. This will support our bond buyback strategy. The sale will not only enable a more disciplined focus on our core businesses, but will also advance proactive risk management strategies. As we previously communicated, a significant portion of the original rise in the NPL ratio is attributable to a large loan incorporated into our SME's portfolio. Payroll collection has been remarkably stable during the pandemic.
But going back to where we left on the collection side, I was telling that another positive indicator is our collection level. This quarter, collections have reached pre-pandemic levels, well above the 8 billion pesos mark, a record high collection for pandemic times. In this line, higher collections have enabled the NPL ratio to decrease slightly to 3.8% in second Q21 from the 3.9% in first Q21. Going forward, our board has recently approved the sale of a portion of the SME portfolio, and this will support our bond buyback strategy. The sale will not only enable a more disciplined focus on our core businesses, but will also advance proactive risk management strategies. As was previously communicated, a significant portion of the original rise in the NPL ratio is attributable to a large loan incorporated into our SME's portfolio. Payroll collection has been remarkably stable during the pandemic, as all the government agencies are up to date with their payments. Any concerns about alleged delays in payments from municipal and state governments, unfortunately, disregard that. Unlike some of our peers and competitors, our payroll lending is centered around employees of federal government agencies who are AAA rated based on their likelihood to pay, and those resources are mostly under management of the National Treasury, the SOFED for their work in Spanish, which has proven to be highly reliable. Relatively, as part of our strategy to consolidate the best performing segments of our business, payroll lending experienced important growth, generating 1.5 billion pesos in origination in this quarter, thanks in part to the increasing contribution of our commercial partnership with Grupo FAMSA. With respect to the other business segment, we made the strategic decision to decrease the size of our SME business within our entire portfolio. In the same direction, our SME portfolio is becoming more diversified. The concentration share of our top 10 loans has decreased from the 17.4% to 16.3% quarter over quarter. As a result of our decision to decrease the size of our SME business, we focused on our existing customers in the SME's Mexico segment. However, given the strength of the U.S. economic recovery, our SME USA segment experienced a significant rebound in origination. Used cars continue to benefit from a strong demand, and Instacredit continues to see a positive trend in the origination all aboard. Overall, we have achieved a double-digit annual growth rate above 15% within our total portfolio while taking a more conservative origination approach. Before I hand it over to Renata, who will provide greater detail on the development I have just mentioned, I also wanted to highlight our inclusion for the second consecutive year in the Standard & Poor's Bolsa Mexicana Total Mexico ESG Index, representing a very positive milestone for the company, as it implies the recognition of Crédito Real's leadership on environmental, social, and governance practices. Crédito Real is the only Mexican non-banking financial institution included in this index, reflecting the profound differentiation of Crédito Real as a company that does not only comply with significantly stricter laws and regulation as a listed company in the Mexican Stock Exchange, but is recognized as a benchmark among all Mexican business sectors for its ESG contribution by a leading global institution. In turn, throughout the last quarter, the underlying business structure of the company has remained strong and is further supported by the initial economic recovery in Mexico. Additionally, we have taken concrete steps to mitigate risk to the non-foundational aspects of our business. Moreover, the proactive mitigation of this risk has allowed us to prioritize the quality of the portfolio over the quantity of the loans, further strengthening our unique value proposition to investors from that of our peers in the long term. We are aware that the positive shift in our indicators and the successful milestones we have recently achieved do not mean that the challenges for the company have disappeared. However, we are confident that our long-term strategy focused on high quality and diversified revenues puts us in the right path to overcome these obstacles. With this, I conclude my remarks and I hand the call over to Renata. Please go ahead, Renata.
Thank you, Carlos. Good morning, everyone, and sorry again for the technical issue. Before starting with my remarks on the P&L, it is relevant to note that this quarter marks 12 months of the consolidation of Crédito Real Arrendamiento into our financial statement, meaning that the figures from this period onwards are directly comparable and do not require any pro forma analysis. As of quarter end, interest income reached 2.7 billion pesos, compared to 2.4 billion pesos recorded in the same period last year, increasing 14%. This variation was driven by the operational recovery at all business segments, with payroll and used cars being the top performers. The decrease quarter over quarter is explained by a foreign exchange gain experienced during the first quarter 2021. The declining weight of loans on the relief programs on the company's portfolio also contributed to this result, standing below the 1% as of the end of this quarter against 8.6% in the same period last year, and are expected to completely come off over the second half of the year. It is important to remember that interest income also includes income from factoring activities that has a relatively low weight on the consolidated revenue. Consequently, total income rose 10% year over year, amounting to 3 billion pesos. During the quarter, interest expense totaled 1.4 billion pesos, increasing almost 22% when compared to the 1.2 billion pesos recorded in the same period last year, mainly reflecting the higher indebtedness that the company has incurred over the last 12 months, which has been oriented to portfolio growth and enhancement of the liquidity profile. Consequently, the financial margin amounts to 1.3 billion pesos, an annual increase of 7.4%, resulting from the improved loan portfolio mix that entails better performing assets under the challenging environment, more than offsetting the negative carry associated to the undeployed proceeds from the senior notes 2028. Net provision for loan losses was 320 million pesos, down 21% year over year, which implies a cost of risk of 2.4% during the quarter. In this regard, the coverage ratio closed at 122.5%, mainly derived from an individual loan in the SME segment. Meanwhile, quarterly administrative and promotion expenses totaled 932 million pesos, increasing almost 19% year over year, in line with the recovery and growth seen at all overall origination and collection. In the bottom line, net income amounted to 193 million pesos, compared to 131 million recorded in the second quarter of 2020, representing 47% growth year over year. On a sequential basis, net income increased 116%. This variation is a clear sign that the adopted strategy to reallocate resources and strengthen the company's capital structure was the right goal. Return on average equity was 4.5% as of quarter end, compared to 2.8% in the same period last year. And return on average assets expanded 30 basis points against last year, standing at 1%. Capitalization ratio was 31.7% in the second quarter of 2021, 2.7 percentage points below the 34.4% recorded last year. The funding cost recorded 110 basis points increase from 9.1% in the second quarter of 2020 to 10.2% as of June 30, 2021, primarily due to the negative carry related to the senior note 2028 undeployed resources, but dropped 100 basis points on a sequential basis, following the improvements attained at our debt profile. It is worth noting that our efforts oriented to secure sources of funding at better conditions have gained further importance before the probability of an arising backdrop of a less accommodative stance that seeks to face inflationary pressures. In this sense, the Mexican Central Bank, Banxico, already decided to hike the reference rate in June, and a similar posture prevails in the United States. But the European Central Bank has decided to hold the rate unchanged. Breaking down loan portfolio by business segment, that consolidated loan portfolio amounted to 55 billion pesos, up almost 7% compared to last year, largely attributed to by the outstanding performance in payroll and used cards. Consolidated non-performing loan ratio rose to 3.8% in the second quarter 2021 from 1.5% last year, as this metric was impacted by a client in the SME segment. On a sequential basis, these metrics show an improvement of 10 basis points. Payroll loan portfolio grew 11% year over year, reaching 32 billion pesos, driven by an enhanced outreach and a stronger competitive position in the northern Mexico. Thanks to our alliance with Grupo FAMSA, with delinquency remaining below the 2% mark at 1.8%, result of our successful endeavors in profiling of clients. SME portfolio total 12.4 billion pesos, an annual contraction of 2%. As Carlos mentioned, this decline mainly follows our strategy to reduce our exposure in SMEs, particularly in Mexico, to around 16% of the total portfolio from a weight of 23%. And our origination focus on payroll and other less capital-intensive products that renders considerably lower default risks. As was the case last quarter, the non-performing loan ratio increased due to the recognition of the SME's individual loans, going up from 0.4% in the second quarter 20 to 11.6% this period. Meanwhile, used cars portfolio expanded 7% when compared to the second quarter 2020, amounting to 4.3 billion pesos. This growth was mainly fueled by the strong demand from used cars in both Mexico and the United States. Delinquency in this segment continues to improve, standing at 1.2% in line with the adoption of stricter origination and collection standards. Lastly, Insacade's loan portfolio contracted as of quarter end to 5 billion pesos, and this segment's non-performing loan ratio closed at 4.8%. Turning to the balance sheet, as of June 30, 2021, total assets increased 2% compared to the same period 2020, amounting to 76.2 billion pesos, attributed to the consolidated portfolio growth, a larger debt insured, an arrangement of hedging instruments over the last 12 months. As of quarter end, the company's outstanding debt totaled 56 billion pesos, up almost 6%, mostly explained by the placement of our senior notes 2028 and a higher bank debt. Nevertheless, compared to the last quarter, total debt decreased 1.2%, improving the company's leverage to a debt-to-equity ratio of 3.2 times. To conclude, stockholders' equity totaled 17.5 billion pesos, an annual decrease of 1.9%. With this, I conclude my remarks, and now let me turn back the call to the operator to open the line for Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Please hold while we poll for questions. Your first question for today is coming from Nicholas Riva. Please announce your affiliation, then pose your question.
Thanks. Yeah, this is Nicolas with Bank of America. Thanks, Carlos and Renata, for the chance to ask questions. I have two questions, and then I'm going to have another question on a different topic. So first, on originations, and specifically, I wanted to ask you about your strategy, because in every earnings call, I mean, for the last few quarters, you have been saying that the idea is to decrease your exposure to SME lending and to focus a lot more on payroll. If I look at originations in this quarter, you originated even more in SME than in payroll. You originated 1.7 billion pesos in SMEs, 1.5 billion pesos in payroll. So I wanted to ask you how those origination figures are consistent with your strategy. And then my second question on this other loan segment, which is only just over 2% of the loan portfolio, but in this quarter, this was the segment where you originated the highest amount of any segment. You originated 2.2 billion pesos in this other loan segment. And I wanted to ask you, are you including here the payroll loans to the FAMSA clients, or are those included in the payroll segment? Thanks.
Yes, hi, Nicolas. Thank you for your question. First of all, the origination increase that you are seeing on the SMEs, it comes from the business in the United States, where you could see that basically we have an 86% increase on the origination on the first half of the year. If you compare the SMEs in Mexico, you could see that we have been experiencing a drop on the origination of about 50% quarter over quarter, and above the 70% year over year. And that's the rationale and the strategy that the company has at this moment to reduce the exposure on the SMEs in Mexico. Regarding the second question on the others, we include in this line a part of the alliance that we have with Grupo FAMSA that is funding their durable goods segment. If you see the disclosure that we have on this portfolio, around the 65% of others corresponds to the durable goods segment funded to Grupo FAMSA. When it comes to the lines that we have on the payroll segment, you can see that it's recognized under the payroll segment.
Okay. Thanks for those answers, Renata. So on the first point then, when you are saying that you want to decrease exposure to SME lending, you are specifically referring to the Mexico business. And given your strong origination figures in the U.S., we might continue to see strong origination overall from the SME lending book.
That is correct, Nicolas. That is correct, Nicolas. What we are perceiving are, you know, in terms of in economic terms, we are perceiving totally different, you know, the performance in the two books. So the one that we intend to unwind is the Mexican one.
Okay, understood. And then on the second question that Renata had responded, so then regarding the FAMSA JV, the loans to finance the acquisition of durable goods, those are in other loans. Payroll would be in the payroll segment, which I thought that the acquisition of durable goods was the business that you kind of didn't want so much in that JV, but it came along as a legacy business. But then, you know, the fact that you're originating so much in these other loans, the 2.2 billion pesos, at least to me, is surprising.
If you look at what we are originating in FAMSA, it's less than 100 million pesos per month. You know, it has to do something with the duration of those facilities. But in any case, the attractive part of it is that, you know, as a part of the agreement with them is that what we expect is a return on assets for that particular portfolio of 8%. So in any case, we feel very comfortable with that.
Okay, thanks, Carlos. And then on Radiopolis, can you give us an update on the legal process to execute on the collateral, and if you are still 45% provision on that 700 million peso loan, And, you know, given where we are in the third quarter now, if you expect to need to provision more for that loan in the third quarter?
The next step up in provision, that's going to come on the, at the end of the year, you know, consistent with the expected losses methodology of provisioning. That's going to happen then. On how we are handling this, you know, it's hard to provide an estimate about the legal procedures, especially over here, but the reference that we have is that things are moving in the right way. So what we would expect is for this quarter to find a suitable solution for that particular issue.
Okay, thanks very much. And the last one, when you say that the cash collections were 8.3 billion pesos, I believe, yeah, just to confirm, you're including there both collections on interest and principal?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct.
Thanks very much, Carlos and Renato.
Thank you, Nicolas.
Your next question is coming from Carlos Alcaraz. Please announce your affiliation, then pose your question.
Hello, Carlos, Renata. Good morning. This is Carlos from Appalachian Analysis. I have two questions. The first one is, towards your end, what is your estimate of the participation of payroll in the total portfolio? And the second question is, once completed the ramp-up process of FAMSA, what is your estimate of its weight for the payroll portfolio? Thank you.
Yes. Hi, Carlos. What we are expecting, if you see this quarter, the federal segment has been increasing the participation given the focus we are having on this business line by the several initiatives that we have taken throughout the year. So what we should be expecting is that payroll continue to gain weight above the 60% of the consolidated portfolio, given the decrease that we will be experiencing on the SME portfolio in Mexico.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, and congratulations on the solid results.
Thank you.
Your next question is coming from Dennis Parsian. Please announce your affiliation, then pose your question.
Hi, I'm with Morgan Stanley. Thanks for the call and the question and answer period. I have a couple questions. Could you update us, please, on the status of the sale of the foreclosed assets? I believe earlier this year you said that you expected to sell a fairly large chunk, particularly related to some prime real estate in Guadalajara by May, June, and that by, you know, once you sort of turn the clock past mid-year, that you would have to start thinking about impairing those. We saw in the most recent quarter that line in your balance sheet actually increased rather than decreased. So it would be great to get some update there and update in terms of how you're going to provision for it and when. Second, I'll ask all the questions now and you can handle them the way you like. There was a sudden decline in the NPL ratio of the others business. Could you explain that, please? And then thirdly, could you possibly provide us with an update of the IMSS process whereby they announced they were going to cap rates, and perhaps you could discuss the likelihood or not of that tendency to spread out to other government agencies. Thanks a lot.
Hi, Lenny. And let me address the first question, you know, in terms of the foreclosed assets. I mean, definitely we see improvements in those negotiations. However, I mean, it has been rather slow, especially it was slow because some of the people interested in buying some of those pieces or some of those assets were expecting the outcomes of the midterm elections here in Mexico. Given that recently passed just a few weeks back, I would expect that definitely for the second half of the year, I mean, we will see an improvement over there in terms of the sale of those assets. Definitely, I mean, if you look at the not only the auditors but also rating agencies, are well considering the, you know, they are well aware that if those assets last longer in our balance sheet, at some point we will have to, you know, test them for impairment, but not at this point. So basically, that's where we are standing. If you see a minor increase this quarter in the foreclosed assets, those are due because, I mean, I've been very explicit about the focus on the collection, and that's something that you can perceive this quarter, not only on the collection front that reached, you know, a pre-pandemic level of 8.4, close to 8.4 billion, you know, reaching above our 8 billion mark, but also the focus, if you see also there was an improvement in terms of collections of charge-off accounts. The other end is when there was a particular case in which we felt that we wouldn't make a significant improvement, so we, you know, take another piece of land a beachfront play piece of land worth 70 million for 70 million, if I recall correctly, and the market value of it exceeds that amount, basically exceeds that amount. Coming to the NPL, to the...
Yeah. Hi, Ben. Can you repeat the second question you have of the other segment?
Yeah, the second question was the NPLs in the other segment collapsed. Can you explain?
Yes, it's basically, as I was mentioning, on the other segment, we basically registered the funding that we provide to the SPV on Grupo FAMSA and the durable goods segment. So given that our counterpart is this SPV, we don't have any delay on the payment on that front.
Sorry, could you repeat that, please?
Yeah, basically is that given that the most of that, the largest portion of that book, I mean, is coming from the SPV, that's used for the durable goods alliance with FAMSA, that's what's bringing the NPL ratio down.
What is it about the fact that it's coming from the SPV that brings the NPL down? I'm not clear on the mechanics.
Yeah, if you recall, I mean, the original agreement that we have with FAMSA is that we wouldn't hold, I mean, given that we don't want to change the risk metrics in the company, what we did is that we set an SPV up, you know, next to it that we do not consolidate. But on the other hand, Crédito Real provides the funding for that particular SPV, and the expected return for them is the 8% that I mentioned just a few minutes back. So given that, you know, all the funding that we're providing over there is current, it's basically what's driving the NPL ratio in the line of others down. I don't know if that's more clear, Benny.
So it was a change in methodology?
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's simply, if you want to, the reason that we are, you know, splitting it, I mean, that we are putting it on the line of others, it's just, you know, to clarify what we have, what the exposure that we have on the durable goods segment, you know, that's coming from the, you know, from the alliance with FAMSA.
Okay.
Yeah. And coming to your final question, you know, in terms of, you know, a risk of contagion, you know, from what's happening in the IMSS to the other government agencies, well, I mean, it's hard to answer that, but basically, I mean, what I could refer to the experience that we have. So if you think that, I don't know, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago when the IMF, when the IMSS lowered its rate, and there was no effect on the other lines of business. However, I mean, we believe, I mean, as we've been very emphatic about this, is that, you know, given the other part of the agreement with the IMSS, which is to lower the commission paid to the sales forces, most of it can be offset. So at this point, I mean, we have no visibility of interest rate cuts, and we do not foresee any contagion, you know, to other government agencies.
Sorry, and you can't even say anything about the timing of when IMSS is going to implement what it said it was going to implement? Are you calling into question, you think they might not even move forward? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, what I'm saying is that based on our experience, I mean, when the IMSS 5 or 6 years ago lowered the interest rate, that didn't have any effect on the other government agencies. So basically, in short, what I'm saying is that we do not foresee any contagion to other government agencies.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I guess there was two parts to my question. One was contagion, and the other one was the timing of the implementation of the IMSS process.
Yeah, the timing, I mean,
which is still material, right? It's what it was like 17% of your total book. It's still a material number.
No, if you look at the origination, if you look at this year's origination, you know, the origination for the IMSS, it doesn't reach the 10%. I think it ranges something around the 8% or something. So what I'm saying is that if at some point we would stop originating, you know, for pensioners, you know, the effect that it would have in terms of portfolio would be something around 300 million, if I recall correctly. That's about it. I mean, just to remember you that the IMSS, I don't know, probably 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, amounted for roughly 40% of our book, and that has been coming down over the last 2 years, and now origination-wise, it doesn't even reach to the 10%, not even to the 9%. So that's where we are standing.
Right. Got it. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Lenny.
Your next question for today is coming from Carlos Legarreta. Please announce your affiliation, then pose your question.
Hi, good morning. This is Carlos Legarreta from GBM. Thank you for taking the question. It's actually two. Just on the provisions, I was hoping to get some more color on the reduction by segment. And on the second one, I apologize in advance if this has been addressed, but the dividend payment, I understand this was supposed to occur during the first half, but this was delayed during late June. So I just want to understand what is the timeline for that or the order of priority for the company. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to provisions, I mean, probably the best explanation, if you think in terms of the cost of risk, is basically that our collection efforts, our focus on the collection, pays off during this quarter. We have we collected out of charge of accounts something around 80 million pesos, and that's what's lowering, the cost of risk to the 2.4 boundary. But this was for this quarter. So that's what we're standing. I mean, it's basically, you know, that the focus on the collections have been paying off. Now, moving to your second question about the dividends, it's too soon to say. I mean, basically what we are doing is that what the shareholders meeting approved was they authorized the board, you know, to determine when are we going to pay the 2019 dividend, and we still haven't decided yet. And that's going to be, you know, it's going to, you know, the key aspects of on that decision are going to come from the capitalization, are going to come of the our liquidity base, and that's where we're standing.
Thank you for the comments.
Your next question for today is coming from Joao Rosado. Please announce your affiliation, then pose your question.
Hi, I'm calling from Banco Financia. Thank you for taking my call. Just wanted to better understand the progress on short-term, on the funding you've been renewing. As far as I understand, there's been some progress since the fourth quarter of 2020, but there's still a significant amount of short-term debt. So I wanted to understand, when are you planning to roll over those maturities?
Yeah, look, I mean, at this point, the company has ample liquidity to fund the business and to pay out or refinance our upcoming maturities. You know, as we mentioned, you know, we have so far renewed, you know, facilities well over five billion pesos, five billion pesos. You know, the strong business model of the company, and you know, and the significant economic recovery that we are, I mean, we are seeing a major improvement in terms of the collection. So that, along with the support that we are getting from the bank, I would say that we are in a good position to refinance them. You know, if you think that the total that we have to refinance for this year is something around the 4 billion or something within that range, and out of them, it's like, I don't know, it's probably like 70% of them are revolving lines from banks that are revolving lines from banks that we've been working for a number of years. I mean, we feel confident that we will manage to do so. So right now, if you think in terms of refinancing, if the focus has been to setting up the right foundation to be in a position to refinance the CHF bond, which is due in February. That, you know, all our efforts are focused on towards that end.
Okay, and do you expect to come to the market to refinance that bond, or will you do that through the bank market?
Look, at this point, I mean, the expectation, even though that looks further away, I mean, from the position that we currently are, I believe that in the next couple of quarters, we will be in a much better position, you know, to tap the market. Otherwise, we will rely on banks, on the cash that the company generates. So basically, it's hard to predict at this point, but we do not foresee refinancing risk.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question is coming from Artem Sumet. Please announce your affiliation, then pose your question.
Yeah, Carlos, Tim, hi. How are you? I have a few follow-up questions. If you don't mind, the first one will be on your origination. I mean, during the first quarter, you said that the payroll business is the most stable, and you have, among other segments, and you have great expertise in here, right? But we see that you origination is almost is above 50% down quarter to quarter, especially for this segment, while other segments were much lower in terms of origination, and any of other segments even showed some increase, right, in your origination. So my question is, why do you decided to cut exactly payroll segment in terms of origination? How is it in with your strategy, right, in general? And what were the reasons behind that? Is it related to, well, common regulatory environment on from IMSS or something like that? So would be grateful if you could give a bit color on this. Thanks.
Hi, Artem. Following the strategy that the company has at this moment, where we are ramping up the origination on the payroll side, this has taken a toll on the origination overall of the company, given that when we were increasing the SMEs line, you could see that we had overall higher origination levels. Right now, that the strategy is to continue decreasing the origination that right now stands around the 10-15% of what we used to originate on the SME side. That's why that's how we can explain this decrease in the origination. On the other side, you could see that the origination is increasing mainly on the payroll side. We have experienced an increase in the origination of about 80% compared to last year. And we are also increasing our origination in other businesses, such as the used cars in the United States.
And to complement on that one, I would say that the goal for, I don't know, for this year when it comes to the SME is, you know, to unwind the book and to sell a portion of those assets in charge off when it's necessary. But the goal is going to be, you know, that the Mexican portion of the SME business does not exceed the 10% of the consolidated book. So that's what we are aiming. And this is going to come from a, you know, one of these, from a combination of the things that I just mentioned, you know, either selling assets or charging off or just simply unwinding. However, the unwinding part takes much longer. And probably, you know, it's worth mentioning, you know, that whatever we get, whatever resources we get from the sale of these assets are going to be deployed into our bond buyback program.
Yeah, sorry, but I still didn't get this. Why do you decided to cut your payroll origination, especially for this huge amount in terms of about 30% quarter to quarter? You said that about SME, okay, it's clear, but why exactly payroll business?
The payroll, I mean, that we are seeing improvements. I mean, if you look at there's a massive improvement, you know, year over year, there's a massive improvement in terms of the payroll origination because last year was, you know, mostly affected by the lockdown. If you think that the lockdown in Mexico started exactly on that second quarter, I mean, however, you know, we have been able during this year, we have been able to compensate and to, you know, gain traction in terms of origination. When it comes from this quarter, the origination has come from, I don't know, the northern states and the northern states, and which is the result of the alliance with FAMSA, and that we've been being more, you know, increasing our penetration in the other government agencies we work with. I mean, we provide full color of it in our earnings release.
Yeah, okay, thank you. The next question on your announced bond buyback program, could you kind of indicate any exact parameters for these buybacks? Which part of the curve you are targeting for the buyback, maybe any absolute amount for the repurchase? So,
well, when we come to, I mean, the answer to buying back bonds is very simple. We see an enormous opportunity, you know, given the price they are trading, some of them, especially, you know, the 28s and the euro, we see an enormous opportunity, opportunity. And as I've been very emphatic since I became CEO, I mean, the focus, at least for the next few quarters, is going to be on capital allocation and definitely buying back bonds. Where at the level they are trading, it makes all the sense in the world. So that's something that we are going to pursue, and that was approved by the board, you know, in these week's meeting. And on the other hand, finally, you have liquidity. Yeah, we still have liquidity, and that's basically where we are.
My next follow-up on your dividends. I mean, during the previous conference call for the first quarter, right, you said that you aim to pay dividends for 2019, but dividends for 2020 are upon decision and decision of rating agencies, right? And we saw rating downgrades from both rating agencies. So my question for dividends on 2020, how is process with them, and what's the current status on dividends for the previous year?
Yes,
not for 2019.
Yes. Arsene, regarding the dividend payments, if you recall, we approved the dividend payments before the pandemic, and then we postponed them over the last AGM that we held during this year. So basically, right now the decision is on the board of directors, which are constantly monitoring the strategy and the status of the company. So they will decide at which point we are going to pay 2019 dividends. Regarding the 2020 dividend payment, at this point there hasn't been any decision if we are going to pay them this year.
And to complement that, you know, our key focus is to preserve the financial health of the company. So that's basically it.
Yeah, great. Thank you. And the last remark from my side. You made about 5 billion of PESA refinancing in this quarter. So it will be great if you could give us a bit more color on terms of this refinancing. What conditions for this new line? So is it better, is it worse in terms of pricing and in terms of your future margin? So any color on that will be grateful. Thank you.
I'm sorry, Arden. Could you rephrase that? Because I'm not sure I got the question. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, what are the terms of this refinancing you made during this quarter? It's about 5 billion pesos, so I would like to compare with your funding costs. So is it high, is it lower, is it in line with your current funding costs? Right, that's my question. Am I clear?
Yeah. Look, basically when it comes to something that's worth mentioning at this point is, you know, 75% of our debt is fixed at this point. So when it comes to the refinancing, we are seeing, you know, rather stable conditions. We are seeing rather stable conditions, and we are working more. You know, we wouldn't expect that, you know, to change drastically. We wouldn't expect that to change drastically, you know, with the upcoming refinancing or with the upcoming maturity. That's where we are. But that's basically it.
Well, okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Arthur.
Your next question is coming from Gilberto Garcia. Please announce your affiliation, then pose your question.
Hi, good morning. This is Keith Garcia from Barclays. Thank you for the call. You mentioned in your press release that all government agencies are up to date with their payments. However, we see that payroll interest income remains well below historical levels, and NPLs actually increase slightly quarter on quarter. So my question is, does this mean that the levels we are seeing in terms of both yields and NPLs are what we should expect going forward, the new normal, if you will, of this segment?
Yes, hi, Gilberto. That's correct. What we want to convey, the message that we want to convey right now is that all the government agencies that we have are up to date. If you see, the payroll collection has been stable since all the coronavirus situation started. So practically, we haven't seen any different conditions throughout the last year on this sense on the collection side. The important thing on this segment is on the origination side, given that right now we are accelerating the origination, and you could see this quarter that we closed the origination in levels around the 1.5 million pesos. So basically, we haven't experienced any change on the collection side. And regarding the non-performing loans, it's a very stable non-performing loan for the federal side, given that we still are below the 2% mark.
Okay, thank you. And on the SME, sorry.
Yes, but I just wanted to close with that the current non-performing loan is not the new normal. We are expecting that this could be lower in the next quarters. First, markers, and also the focus that we are having in this segment, and by decreasing the concentration that we have on the SMEs overall. So we are expecting that on year end, the non-performing loan should be closing on more normalized level for the interest.
Okay. Then on the SME, the intention to sell a part of this portfolio, can you comment on what size of the portfolio you would be looking to sell, whether you have had conversations with potential buyers? And Carlos, I think you mentioned that you might be willing to you know, take perhaps a loss on B share. What sort of level of charge of would you be comfortable with in order to generate liquidity?
Look, I mean, look, Humberto, the you know, probably to sum this up, I would expect the SME business in Mexico to reach something around the 10% of the book. That's what we are aiming, right? And yeah, and this is going to come either from a sale of assets, which we are currently, you know, we are looking for opportunities in that regard. So that's something that could be accomplished as soon as this quarter. I don't know, but the main goal is going to be on the other end, you know, to reach this fraction, this portion of the consolidated book. The thing about the NPLs and the thing about the other aspects, I mean, one of the things is, you know, that provides us with some, you know, flexibility is the fact of having, you know, rather a large provision base. So in terms of what I'm having with this is basically having the right provision base provides you with flexibility in terms of pricing, so, and in terms of charges. So I would expect, you know, to affect the P&L by charges in that particular line of business, but the main aspect is to reduce drastically the concentration that we have on the SME business.
Okay, thank you. And lastly, on a different subject, we understand from conversations with clients, some of them investors of yours, but they have contacted your external auditor seeking clarifications about some of your financial statements. Can you comment on whether you would authorize your auditors to engage with these investors? Thank you.
Look, I mean, as you know, we are constantly in touch with all our investor base, you know, and the focus, you know, since all the, you know, the problems, the challenges that we face this year has been on the transparency side. So we keep a very close touch with them and addressing all the questions that they might have. The most suitable answer for most of their questions reduces to, you know, a cash flow analysis. If you look at all the amount of money that we consistently collect on a quarterly basis, that explains most of the concerns of whatever our investor base they have. So that's how we've been addressing, you know, all the questions, you know, based on transparency and being very clear about the cash flow analysis.
Okay, thank you.
At this time, we will take the last two questions in queue. You do have a follow-up question coming from Dennis Parsian. Your line is live.
sorry, thanks. You answered my follow-up question. Thanks.
Yes, Dennis, go ahead.
Your next question is coming from Jonathan Schwark. Please announce your affiliation, then pose your question.
Hi, good morning. Renata Carlos from Deadwire Research. Carlos, you mentioned that the return on asset on the durable goods JV with FAMSA is 8%, but that's on the equity side that you provide. How does that JV get funded?
The agreement that we have is that we are providing the funds and we are charging, if I recall correctly, we are charging an interest rate of 20% for the funds, you know, deployed to fund that for that particular portfolio. That at the end of the day, what we would expect is to reach for that return on assets of 8%, and whatever exceeds that, and whatever that exceeds that amount corresponds to our partner there. That's basically the answer.
Oh, okay. So it's different. And the second one, I think I'm done, is are you planning to continue buying back equities? Because you mentioned about the bond buyback program, but, I mean, in equities you can do significantly more with much less.
You know, the equities buyback program is a different story because, you know, what we are aiming for is not to weaken our capitalization base, but quite the opposite. The opportunity that we are seeing, given the level at which our bonds are trading, is, you know, that we are going to enhance our capitalization base. So that's basically the big difference. If you look at what we've bought so far this year, it just amounts to roughly, I don't know if I recall correctly, it should be something around $5 million or 11 million shares that we have at the treasury over here. But those are the two differences. The difference and focusing on capital allocation, the opportunity that we are seeing is on the side of buying back bonds.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Well, and with this, we conclude this quarterly call. Once again, we are sorry for all the inconvenience and the technical difficulties that we faced. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everyone. Goodbye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This does conclude today's conference call. Thank you for being on today's conference. You may now disconnect your phone lines and have a wonderful day. Thank you for your participation.